We're not going to let a man-eating dog get between us and the greatest Halloween candy on Earth, because we have raw meat. Now, after we have secured the peanut butter clusters, what do we say to the Burmans?
Me?
Oh, Meredith.
Don't forget our dad. He likes candy, too.
That's my girl! Okay, ready? Group howl!
Everyone, welcome to the Dan Aykroyd Podcast. I'm your host, Scott White, and I am joined once again by Steph DeWagoner.
Hi, everybody.
We have a Halloween special. We are looking at an episode of Soul Man, the sitcom starring Dan Aykroyd. I believe it was the second season, episode 4, called Trick or Treat.
Yes. Now, you've done a couple episodes of this show in the podcast.
Yes, and it's not a good show.
This is my first time to do one with you, and I have to say, I don't remember watching this show originally.
The only thing I remember about this show originally is I was listening to Howard Stern show, mm-hmm. and he was just ripping apart of how bad it was.
So it's 1997 is when this show takes place, is my understanding?
Yes, and it's a spinoff of Home Improvement.
Oh, yes. Okay, that makes sense.
Because it's set in Michigan.
Oh, okay.
And Dan played this character on an episode of Home Improvement.
Okay.
And it was a spinoff. So, yes, it's set in Michigan. I think Ferndale?
So was the episode he was on a pilot for Soul Man?
No. He just did a guest appearance on Home Improvement, I guess, just to introduce the character.
Oh, that makes sense. It's funny because they don't do the, like, you know, Home Improvement has those bumpers where, like, what's going to happen? You know, a piece of paper is going to crumple up or a hammer is going to come across. But they do this. They do come in and out the scenes when they come back from a break, kind of with that Soul Man still shot, but they don't do quite the same Home Improvement. That makes sense, though. It's got kind of that Home Improvement style now that you... And actually, one of the boys from Home Improvement was in this episode.
No.
Oh, no. You know what it is? I'll tell you what happened. So I watched this, and this is the first time I've ever seen this that I can recall. And because I'm watching it on YouTube, because that's where you can find it, it just automatically went to the next episode. He's in the next episode.
Okay.
Which is infinitely better than the one we're going to talk about tonight.
Yes. So this, the it's called Trick or Treat, and the title is just as original as the show. It's just not a funny show. This is one of those shows where the laugh track really stands out. Like, they're really pushing the laugh track.
Yeah. It was interesting to me, having accidentally watched a second episode, how different the two episodes were, and that the second one was actually a lot better. Just as a sidebar, the second one I watched centered more on Anthony Clark's character, the young Reverend Todd.
Yes.
And him getting his first chance at doing a sermon. And I think Anthony Clark's funny. I've always enjoyed Anthony Clark in the different sitcoms he's been on, from Boston Commons to Yes Dear. I've always liked him. Just something about him I like. And so maybe that's why. And Elaine Stritch, classic Broadway actor, is in that other episode. But we're not here to talk about that episode. We're here to talk about Trick or Treat.
And it starts off with the kids are getting ready to trick or treat. And they're talking about the neighbor's dog. And Dan goes to the fridge and says, "But we've got raw meat." And you think that's going to come into play later, and it doesn't. The killer dog is only mentioned once, and then it is dropped.
Yeah, basically, the way they come back to that scene is at the very end when he's going through the Halloween candy.
Yes.
Because that's the whole thing, is he's prepping the kids so that so they can get, like, the maximum amount of candy. They can get past that dog.
And get candy for him.
And get candy for him.
And then that takes us through the intro. And then
I don't even like the intro on this show.
It's a terrible version of Soul Man.
The intro, for those of you who may not watch this, is
the intro, I'm going to put it at the beginning.
You are going to put it at the beginning.
You'll hear it.
Yeah, it's dark. It's not funny. No. It's I was like, God, even the intro in this is not good.
Then we cut back, and
so the premise is
it's Mike, Halloween,
and the premise here is that Mike Weber is a widowed
reverend with four kids.
Episcopalian reverend.
Yes, I believe it's Episcopalian.
And he's got four kids?
Yes.
Okay.
The two little ones and then the two that caused the problem.
Right. I think that oldest kid, Kenny, terrible. Completely miscast. That kid was terrible actor. At one point I saw him mouth the other kid's lines. I rewound it to make sure that's what I saw, and that's what I saw.
It's weird you should say that, because the episode, I did an episode with our friend Lauren, and we caught where he was standing in the back waiting for his cue.
Oh, I remember Lauren saying that.
Yeah, and we both saw that. So whoever's directing these or editing these, they're missing a lot. I don't know if it was rushed, but we could, in the episode we watched, we could clearly see him in the back waiting for his cue line to come in.
Yeah, I don't know. There had to have been infinitely other teenage boys they could have cast over him, but that's interesting. So, yeah, so now we get past the opening credits. We cut to the two boys, right?
The oldest one, he's fiddling around with a garbage can. He's got two little ones, and then the two older ones.
That are like, one that's like 10 and one that's 14, 15, yeah. Something.
So the 10-year-old, he's a troublemaker, and the oldest one is dumb. That's their characters.
Yeah.
And then the little ones are just cute.
Right.
And the 10-year-old finds the 14-year-old playing out by the garbage cans. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, nothing. And then the 10-year-old's going to go out and cause vandalism. He's got eggs and toilet paper and soap. And it turns out the older one has this dummy on a noose. And his plan is, what we'll do is, when kids walk by, we'll throw it down. It'll scare the kids. They'll drop their candy. And then we will gather up there.
Was it bugging you the whole episode that you were trying to figure out what the mask was on the dummy, if that was supposed to be somebody?
I didn't know. It didn't until, well, when we get to it, when Anthony Clark put it on, then it was like, was that Reagan? Or
I know, I was trying to figure out, is that supposed to be a mask of somebody that we're supposed to recognize? At first, I thought it was like some racially offensive Asian guy because of the way they were holding it. But then, yeah, I thought, is that a Reagan mask? I couldn't tell. I didn't know if we were supposed to think that it was somebody. You grew up in Detroit.
Yeah.
We're from the same area pretty much.
Right.
Was the night before Halloween, was it Devil's Night?
Devil's Night.
Yeah, that's a Detroit thing.
That is a Detroit thing.
Well,
first of all, this takes place in Michigan on Halloween, and nobody's got a jacket on.
How many times did your mother make you put a jacket or sweater on over your Halloween costume?
I trick-or-treated as Spider-Man with a jacket on lots of times. But not here. They're walking around in short sleeve shirts.
Right.
Everybody's fine.
And now the young reverend is against all the Halloween festivities.
Right. Well, first Dan comes out and talks to the kids. It's like, no vandalism. Remember last year, no vandalism this year. And the two go in on the dummy.
I did think that was funny when he said, your behavior reflects on me as the minister. You know, your behavior reflects on me. How many times do I have to tell you that? I thought that was good. That seemed authentic to me. It seemed like, of course, it's always the pastor's kids, the reverend's kids, right, who are causing trouble, right?
Then we go back into the house, and then Anthony Clark's character does not like Halloween. He still thinks it's a pagan ritual.
You're really going to go trick-or-treating tonight?
Yeah, we were going to ask you to come along with us. We need a decoy for the Berman's Doberman. Just show up here at 6:31 sharp with a flank steak in your pants.
It's just, I don't think a minister should be taking part in a pagan holiday. I mean, there's God and there's evil, and on Halloween, you take the D from God and put it on evil, and you got goat devil.
Yes, and if you take the T from Todd, you get odd. There you go. Behold, Megarex makes T-Rex look like a newt. Don't forget your paleontologist. Rip them to bits!
Rend them limb from limb.
Dad, I have to pee.
All right, well, make sure you lift the toilet seat. and your tail.
If you're going to put him in a costume, why couldn't he go as one of the 12 apostles?
Todd, I don't think there's a kid in the history of trick-or-treating who's ever gone as an apostle.
No, I did. I went as a different one every year.
How many times you get beat up?
12.
And Dan Aykroyd has very much, his character has very much embraced this holiday.
Yes. They don't tell us. Well, I guess with four kids, you probably would.
Right, and they don't tell us why was this something his wife, like, has it always been fun? Has he always, like, obviously the premise is he's this cool, unorthodox sort of reverend, and so, you know, he wears black and he rides a motorcycle, and so, but yeah, they've got Halloween decorations around the house, and he seems to be really into it, and Anthony, Reverend Todd, is against it all, you know, and has never had a good Halloween experience. And
then this blonde woman comes in. Now, I'll admit, this is the first time I've seen her. I don't know what she has to do with anything. I don't know how she is connected to the Reverend.
You're talking about that character that was her name Nancy or something?
Yeah.
And she was there like as some kind of an assistant or something, right?
Must be. Yeah.
I couldn't figure out her character either. They never mentioned who she was or how she fit in. Obviously, she'd been in before. I looked at the credits, and it looks like her character comes in the second season. And I thought it was Bonnie Hunt.
I thought it was Bonnie Hunt, too.
And I looked and I was like, is that Bonnie Hunt? But no, it's not Bonnie Hunt. And it's this actress that has not done Helen Cates. She plays Nancy Boyd. Her picture isn't even on IMDb. She doesn't have a lot of credits. It's never really explained. Is she like a parishioner? Is she the church secretary? I have no idea who she is. There's an episode at the beginning of season two that is called Hello Todd, Hello Nancy, Goodbye Harley. So that must be where we meet
because
Nancy.
Todd comes in the second season as well.
Okay.
The first season was only like 5 or 6 episodes. And then the second season, they brought in Todd. They brought in a whole bunch of characters in the second season.
Ah, gotcha. So yeah, that must be where it's explained. I feel like she's like some kind of church employee that maybe also helps him with like nannying
probably.
Or babysitting or... It reminded me of like on The Nanny where you've got Cece who sort of is around, you know. This also made me think of Roseanne. I don't know if you ever watched Roseanne very much, but Roseanne of any sitcom, especially the kind of the ABC sitcoms, they really had the corner on Halloween episodes.
Right. Yes, I remember that.
Roseanne, I was never like an avid Roseanne watcher, though I will say over the years.
Well, Home Improvement did too.
Yeah, and they had really good Halloween episodes. So he can't talk him out of it. The Reverend Todd can't talk him out of it.
They're going to go trick-or-treating. The two older kids, they're going to go out trick-or-treating. Dan busts them.
Yeah, like,
They've got eggs. He crushes eggs on them. Typical stuff. Then we cut to...
Kenny and the older boy, the teenage boy. Kenny and the other boy.
No. Then we see Dan's costume.
Oh, that's right. He comes down the stairs in his costume.
As Julia Child.
Which was funny.
That is an in-joke.
Right.
Because he famously played Julia Childs on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
Which is one of the most classic sketches of all time.
Yes. Yes. So I did think that was funny.
Too much blush?
No, you just reminded me I have to call my mother.
Your mother must be a very attractive woman. But can she prepare a lovely Christmas bouche Noel?
Let me guess, you're Margaret Thatcher's love child.
Well, I am a child. I'm Julia Child. But now, here's a delicious liquid refreshment anyone can prepare in a matter of seconds. First, find an ordinary glass. Run your cool water. Voila! A glass of water. Tune in next week when we show you how to prepare flow should hot water.
And he's going back and forth with
Nancy.
And then he takes the kids out trick-or-treating. So he takes the two younger ones out trick-or-treating as Julia Childs.
Right.
Then we cut to
Kenny and Andy.
They're in a tree, and they're throwing the dummy down.
By the way, Andy, the 10-year-old, this whole episode has got a bald cap on with an axe stuck in his head, a bloody axe yep. in his head, which even the still shot for this on YouTube is that picture. And I was like, what? No one ever says anything about this kid having this axe on his head.
Which had to. He had to be sweating with that thing.
Right.
Now, they're throwing the dummy out of a tree, and it's scaring kids, and it's working. My first thought was, oh, one of them's going to fall out of the tree.
Hurt themselves,
and then they go to the hospital. Right. They didn't do that route, so I congratulate them on that. They didn't do the obvious route.
Yeah, pat him on the back, he falls out of the tree.
Right.
Yeah.
Good job. Or he goes to throw it out, he goes down with the dummy. Well, they throw the dummy in front of
Reverend Todd's
car, and you hear the screech, and...
It's all done off camera.
All done off camera. And Reverend Todd's like, I'm going to say it. Oh, fudge. Anthony Clark plays the Reverend Todd as this very naive, very
wholesome
young. The roles are switched. It's usually the young, hip minister, priest. It's going to change things. But in this one, the young, Dan wants to change things, and Anthony Clark is the straight-laced. We go to a commercial break, and then we come back, and the kids are like, okay, we don't know nothing, we didn't do anything, and Anthony Clark shows up with a dummy, the dumb kid, he stuffed it with church bulletins and his own English
test.
He literally had his name in the dummy.
The boys are trying to...
They're playing Anthony, because they already have, Anthony Clark already has it in his head that Halloween is bad. And the kids are playing that up. It's like, it's not us. It's the holiday. It's Halloween. We're really good kids, but there's something happening on Halloween. And Anthony buys this, and he agrees not to tell their father, Dan. Then Dan comes back from trick-or-treating.
One of the little boy's asleep. He's fallen asleep in his dinosaur costume, but the little girl wants to still go trick-or-treat.
Right, so Nancy takes her back out. Reverend Todd is there, and he's acting strange.
Because the boys told him to
lie.
He can't lie, but the boys told him, don't lose eye contact with Dad. Keep your eye contact with Dad. If you lose eye contact, you lose. So he's doing a terrible job of lying. Because he says, hey, was that your card? And I see your car.
He's like, oh, I saw your car. Looks like you got in an accident. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's like, you didn't notice that your car was, missing a wheel?
Right.
And they go back and forth like this. And Anthony Clark is the best part of this episode.
Yeah.
And he breaks down and he's like, I told him I couldn't lie. And it's your kids. They threw the dummy down and I hit it. Yeah. And the scene ends with him unzipping Dan out of his Julius.
Right. Dan Aykroyd's like, yeah, could you unzip me?
Well, there was this big speech. It's just like, and you knew the punchline was coming. You get to see the punchline's coming. Halloween is no excuse. People act the same on Halloween as they do any other time of the year. Now unzip me.
Right.
That's like, okay. Right. Ba-da-da-da-da.
I felt like, even in this, what I didn't like too, is I felt like Dan Aykroyd was really heavy-handed with his
lines. It's all of them. All the episodes.
All the episodes? Really heavy-handed.
It's just really heavy-handed with the jokes. There's no subtlety. He just ham-fists the jokes, which are not funny.
I was like, I guess that's why we don't have sitcoms like that anymore, because they're just...
They are out of style.
Yeah.
And sitcoms nowadays are more character-driven. And so then the kids come home, and Dan has the dummy outside.
Yeah, instead of just out-and-out punishing him, he's going to teach him a lesson by basically scaring them.
Right. He says, go upstairs. I'm thinking about punishing you. Blah, blah, blah. And then he gets Anthony Clark to dress up as the dummy. So he's got... the jeans and the flannel shirt and the mask on. And what he's supposed to do is he's supposed to sit in the chair. He's going to call the boys in. They're going to jump up. And then it's like, oh, it's not so fun being scared, is it? But what happens is Nancy and his little daughter come in by mistake. They come in.
Wrong time.
Anthony Clark jumps up.
Nancy
punches him. Now, so we have to go back. Anthony Clark goes, why don't you have your sons dress up as an apostle? That'll be fun. And Dan goes, how many times did you do that? 12. And he goes, how many times did you get beat up? 12.
Exactly.
So that's a callback to this. So him getting beat up.
Right.
And yeah, so Nancy punches him and he goes down and then the kids walk in and then they confront, well, you know, Dad, what if something happened?
Right.
They give him the same speech.
Right.
That Dan gave them. I'll also give the episode credit. Maybe Dan dishes out punishment to him. And at this point, we get some vintage Dan Aykroyd. You know, he's doing the fat, here's your punishment. He's sort of doing it like, and they reference Don
Pardo.
Like
Don Pardo,
They reference Don Pardo.
So you're probably rethinking our punishment.
I have. Instead of grounding you, I'm sentencing you to 40 hours of community service.
40 hours?
Shall I tell our contestants what they've won, Todd?
Please.
Beginning Monday, our young delinquents will be painting the church basement in a lovely shade of industrial beige. Paints and brushes to be supplied by the Spiegel Catalog, Chicago, Illinois, 60609.
But hold on, that's not all.
Thank you, Todd Pardo. You'll also be feeding the elderly as part of our Meals on Wheels program. Food to be provided by Kenny and Andy, who'll be preparing it in the church kitchen.
We get the classic Dan Aykroyd. You're going to have to do this, this, and this, and this, this. But that's not all. This, this, and this, this. That's like the only time Dan is not mechanical in this episode. It's the old him. He's not, like you said, hammering these corny jokes.
It's good. He gives the boys a punishment where they're going to basically have to work off the cost of repairing Reverend Todd's car by working at the church, serving people, serving food, cleaning, you know, doing stuff around the church. And he goes, "Can I just be grounded?" And he's like, "No,
no,
you know, no. You're gonna work this off."
And then we cut to the credit scenes where Dan is divvying up the candy.
He's got the kids' Halloween bags and he's going through the candy.
He's like, nut cluster, mine, raisins.
Theirs.
And then that's it. And that's the episode. And it's very bland. It's not really, like you said, Home Improvement, Roseanne, their Halloween episodes were very Halloween-y. And this was not. This was the set at Halloween.
Right. Roseanne and Home Improvement always have like a fun twist for the audience, you know, something like that, or something that you think
they're trying to scare each other.
Right. But funny, like really funny costumes.
Yeah, they go all out in costumes here and on those shows. And not, this was just, teach the kids a lesson. It's just set on Halloween.
The episodes are on YouTube. That's where you can.
All the episodes are on YouTube. It only ran 2 seasons.
It's 25 episodes.
Yes, and like the first season was like only 4 or 5 episodes. Second season,
yeah, that's weird. I guess because
it was like a midsummer replacement.
Ah, got it. Okay. Well, overall on IMDb, it looks like the series has like a 6.1 out of 10,
which is way too high.
If you really love Dan Aykroyd, and obviously we're Dan Aykroyd fans, it's worth watching some of the episodes. You know,
well, if there's Anthony Clark steals.
Yes.
In all the episodes that I've done that he's been in, he steals the show. And I give Dan credit. He lets him steal the show. But, it's just not a good show. And there's a Christmas episode, so I'm probably going to do that at Christmas time. But, well, I mean, and they do hit all the... It's like they do the standard Thanksgiving, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas episodes. They do all those. They just don't... There's no flair to it. It's very, very dry. I think this is one of those, you see those scenes where they run Big Bang Theory with no laugh track. If you did this, it would just be, awful. It's like the laugh track actually makes it bearable.
Was Anthony Clark a stand-up?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm looking at his IMDb, and it looks like he doesn't have any credits after like 2000... I want to say like 2016 or something. And so I was like, oh, well, maybe he's writing or producing or direct. 2012 and 2019, he's got a couple of credits, but it's like he's dropped off the planet.
He might have. Well,
He's doing comedy clubs or something.
He might be doing comedy clubs.
But he doesn't have any like producer, writer, anything after like 2019. Interesting. He's funny. I like I said, Yesteryear is actually not a terrible
sitcom. It's not a terrible show, especially episodes where Tim Conway and Vicki Lawrence play his parents.
Yeah.
Those are great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever, okay, it's never a good sign when you're doing a podcast about a sitcom and you talk about another sitcom.
Right.
Yeah, this was just a misfire. I'll probably do, like I said, I'll probably do the Christmas episode and then...
So Dan was on, he did this, played this character on Home Improvement, and then he also was on, what was Jim Belushi's sitcom?
According to Jim.
He was on According to Jim. We did The Nanny, where he did a little cameo on The Nanny.
And he's guest starred on The Conners.
Oh, okay.
With John Goodman.
Okay.
And the episode that I did with Lauren, John Goodman was on that episode.
Yes, right. Of Soul Man.
And it's just a lot of, I think it's friends helping friends. I'm going to be on your sitcom, you'll be on my sitcom.
Right.
But just because you got a bunch of talent together doesn't, it's the writing. The writing is so, so important.
That's what I even looked to see the difference between those two episodes I watched. Because like I said, the next episode is actually better, notably better than this one. And I looked to see, was a different director. It is different writers. There were more writers on the second one. So,
I think four kids are too many kids for this. Unless it's...
Yeah, the little kids, I think it's almost like the two little ones are supposed to remind you of like the little kids in Uncle Buck, like the Macaulay Culkin and what's her, Gabby. Whatever.
Yeah.
They're kind of the two little kids that are sort of a mirror image of each other. But that older kid doesn't do anything to add to this show at all.
No.
They could have cast any other actor. But yeah, it is funny. In the next episode, one of the kids from Home Improvement is in the next episode. So that makes sense.
I think Richard Karn as Al makes a guest appearance in one of these.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm going to like run out and watch anymore.
No,
I mean,
if
I'm sitting around on a Saturday, it probably will come up on my YouTube again, you know, just since I watched two episodes. But, you know. We have some other content we'll be doing for future podcasts.
Yeah.
So, but it was good. It was, you know,
it was
20 minutes.
It was short.
It wasn't good. No, it's not the worst thing that I've watched.
No, and it's not the worst, but it's just not, I could see why this only lasted a year and a half.
That premise is a little hard too. I feel like there's been other comedians who've tried the premise of the Reverend, the minister in a sitcom, and it just doesn't go.
There was
Cedric the Entertainer had one.
Right. And then McLean Stevenson had one way back in the 70s called In the Beginning by Norman Lear.
Oh.
And that was so bad it only lasted four episodes.
Well, and didn't Andrew Dice Clay, wasn't he in a sitcom where he was a minister? I'm almost positive. So that whole premise of like
The cool minister, yeah.
Right. Yeah, and...
The only sitcom I know where he played a mailman, that's the only sitcom
do
I
they,
know that Andrew Dice Clay was in.
Do they ever, in this series from the episodes you've seen in Soul Man, do they ever talk about the wife, like the deceased, the dead wife? Did they ever talk about her?
Just that, you know, she died. There was the episode, one of the episodes I did, Donna Dixon made a guest appearance.
Oh.
And... You know, he had a crush on her. It's just never really addressed. It's the Full House. It's like mom's dead. We don't really get into it.
So it's kind of like the Brady Bunch. We never talk about it.
Right. That's the Brady Bunch. They were both a widower and a widow. Yes.
Oh, you know what? The Andrew Dice Clay series I was thinking of was Bless This House. That's why I thought he was a reverend.
No,
but
no,
that's
he
where
a
he's a postal worker.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was also a one.
Yeah.
Two
that
season.
Was one thing.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it. I can't recommend it. I mean, it's like if you just want to see what it's about, all the episodes are on YouTube, so you can go through it if you want to watch all the episodes of Soul Man.
Yep. But not to be confused with the movie with C. Thomas Howell.
No. All right, so that's it. It's on YouTube if you want. We haven't really sold it.
And if you're adults, you know, it's perfectly fine to pilfer your kids' trick-or-treat candy.
Absolutely. All right, that's it. We'll see everybody here next time on the Dan Aykroyd Podcast.
Bye.
To support this podcast, please go to www.patreon.com/ScottWhite and give what you're able. If you're listening on iTunes, please give a review. That should help people find this podcast. And no matter what services you use to listen, please leave feedback. We always want to improve. Thank you for listening to the Dan Aykroyd Podcast. ¶¶
Caramel swirl.
Mine. Peanut butter cluster. Mine with a bullet. Box of nutritious raisins. Meredith. Peanut butter cup. Andy's favorite. Mine.
This has been a Cross the Streams Media Podcast.
Oh, now I've done it. I've cut the dickens out of my finger. Well, I'm glad in a way this happened. You know, accidents do happen from time to time in the kitchen. We've never really discussed what to do. First, you must stop the bleeding. The best way is with direct pressure on the apron like so. So I'd recommend natural coagulants such as chicken liver. Another reason not to throw away the liver. Oh God, it's throbbing. Oh, tourniquet, that's it. Yes, a tourniquet can be made of cheesecloth and a chicken bone. Find a pressure point between the heart and the liver. In this case, the wrist, and cut off the blood. Oh, this is a last resort, however, because you could lose your hand if you tighten it too much. Oh, you're too woozy to tie the tourniquets. Find a call for emergency help. There's not much time left. Now, every kitchen should have the emergency number written on it somewhere. Oh, this one doesn't. 911. Because I'm remembering a time when I was a little girl and I had a dog named Amber. I used to give him liver, and my mother gave me a doll. Why are you all spinning? Well, I think I'm going to go to sleep now. Bon appetit.